Welcome to Small Bites Radio with Donato Marino and Derek Tim. We hope you're hungry.
Spaghetti you can eat with a spoon. Oh, SpaghettiOs.
Hit it.
Where's the beef?
Cookie.
He likes it.
Nothing for you. Nothing for you. Nothing for you.
Feed me more.
Long as I can have you here with me, I'd much rather be forever in blue jeans, babe.
Welcome everybody to where are we at again? Wildfire Radio, Small Bites with BlueJeanFood.com and Donato Marino with D&L Coffee Service, Bean to Barista Service, at your service.
Always at your service. Well, it's a pleasure to have everybody in studio. It is hot and heavy in here today. I'm glad I wore shorts because I'm sweating.
Same here. It's all the coming off all this food we have on the table.
All the wonderful food that we have. But before we get this party started, I just had to let our man, John Howard Fusco, know of all this wonderful food that we have in here, just to make him jealous, because I know he lives so far away. He can only come in studio every once in a while. But he does treat us with all of his food knowledge every time he does call in. So what's hot and heavy this week, John?
Hey guys, how you doing? I always like when you remind me about all the food you're having. I always appreciate that. I want to mention Messina Social Club, which is located on 1533 South 10th Street. This is a revival of a century-old private club in South Philly that recently had its soft opening. According to Philly Mag, there are some spots left for the initial membership drive, but after that, membership will only be available through nomination from existing members. So, Derek, once you get your membership, you're going to have to give me a good word, okay?
Oh, definitely.
Is that all right?
Yep, without a doubt.
All right, good. The chef of the club is Mark Regan, who comes from Hungry Pigeon, so you know the quality of food is going to be good. We have some places in Philly that are changing over, name and also cuisine. Taqueria del Norte in Northeast Philly is changed over. Its name is now Culture on the Circle, according to Philly Mag. The menu is now a New American style, and it harkens back to the Chef Chris Service's days back at Blue Duck. So out with the tacos, in with more of a New American style menu. That's called, again, Culture on the Circle. And then another change going on, Chaya Cafe in East Passyunk will be changing over to a restaurant called Flannel. This is going to be a BYOB that will feature a menu of Southern comfort food. Philly Mag is reporting that the location will stay as Chaya through most of the summer, and the changer will be gradual. By Labor Day, it will be now completely changed over to Flannel, and again will be a Southern comfort food menu. The famed Swiss House in Rittenhouse will be closing on August 1st to take time for revamping of its brand. This is according to Eater Philly. The kosher bakery is planning to be reopening on September 3rd, so we'll be interested to see what the changeover will bring to us. Over on the Jersey side of things, if you're heading down to the shore, if you're heading to Wildwood, look for a new wine bar called Spill the Wine, which is located on the corner of Young's and Atlantic Avenue. It's not only just a wine bar, but it's also a fully functioning liquor store. So these articles and more from the past week in Philly Food will be posted later tonight in my blog and share on Twitter at EatingNS Jersey, and as always, hashtag Small Bites Radio.
Perfect. Thank you so much, John. You're always a wealth of knowledge, and we really do appreciate everything that you do for us. Have yourself a great night.
All right, guys. Take care.
Have a good one.
Thank you, John.
But as we said, the studio is packed tonight, Don. I mean, it's jam-packed. And in studio, we do have George Martoriano. And as everyone in Philadelphia knows, George had a little bit of a past. He was accused of being the head of an organized crime business. And I don't believe a word of it, but the only thing that I found strange is George demanded that I kissed his ring finger as soon as I stepped in studio. I mean, George, really? Did we have to go through all that?
Well, when you have an intriguing name and intriguing history, pays off to a cousin of mine. He owns the Martoriano restaurants around America, made him wealthy.
There you go.
And then fast forward to my release from incarceration, 32 plus years, ladies and gentlemen, for marijuana. I'm the longest serving person in the world.
Exactly. And that is
nonviolent first offender.
And that's quite a story. And I mean, you've had a life that has lived quite long and colorful past, but we're here to talk about the present and the future. And right now, what you're trying to do is you actually opened Philly's first CBD cafe, and it's called Hip Hemp Cafe. But why don't we get started at the beginning? What the heck is a CBD cafe for those who don't know?
Well, CBD products is a derivative from hemp, not industrial hemp, consuming hemp. It's a product that, you know, you have to have the extract. It's either the oil, the powder, or the liquid. And then you you do all types of things with the CBDs. You know, you can make edibles. You can make coffee. You can make drinks. You can make items. Fortunately, the reason I opened the Hip Hemp Cafe is Pennsylvania, one of the best states for CBD consumption. CBDs are legal in 50 states, but all 50 states have different ways where you can consume it. And the best states are Pennsylvania, Kentucky, and believe it or not, Oklahoma. A state like California, which is vast and recreational, their CBD consumption laws are fickle. But all the states are lining up. They're getting their acts together. We'll be opening more. We're signing two leases in the next week for Hershey, PA, and we're opening a bakery, a full-fledged CBD bakery in Philadelphia on Cottman and Castor Avenue. I have all these innovative moves we're going to be doing with CBD because we're the first, and we're going to have CBD baked products in a lot of places in Philly and other places. So I think but my motto is with my Hip Hemp Cafe and Hip Hemp Cafes to come. We're there to help people first, money secondary. It's very important because, you know, 7 out of 10 of our customers are ill, some emotional, physically. So it's important that we understand that the CBD industry, to me, is not about making money. It's about helping others.
And your biggest goal out of all of this is to advocate cannabis law reform and to help remove the negativity associated with marijuana. Why did you choose Philadelphia as your first location? Is it because that's where you live first and foremost, or did you really want Philadelphia to be at the forefront of this movement?
It just fell that way. I had opportunities to be in other states. The laws were there. There was no red tape. Anything with THC, marijuana, you know, that's all has to be licensed. A lot of red tape, more expensive. I open up on the retail license. We do all our stuff prepared. It's prepared outside the premises and brought in. So, you know, the older you get, I hope you get wiser, and you want to cut through the red tape, all the licensing and stuff like that, because this just wears you down. And it just lined up right. It just lined up.
Yeah, and the goal that you also have is to provide your customers with a friendly, caring, and knowledgeable staff, and they're all well-versed in CBD and its significant medicinal benefits. And you've set it up in a cozy, distinguished, cafe-esque environment, because as you said, a lot of other states, they have these sort of setups, but it's more of a medical office setting. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. I cut through a lot of stigmatization, a lot of red tape, and we grew rapidly. We grew rapidly, and so much so that I have so many investors on hold. And what about it?
You're saying you're growing so rapidly. What do you envision the future of Hip Hemp Cafe, let's say the next 3 to 5 years?
We're going to have an awful lot. We're about a year away from opening one every 90 days in America. But the bottom line is jobs right now. I created jobs for young people. And all these young people, they all have student loans. They all have student loans. So I'm proud of that. I hope in the near future, a year or two, 3 years, that I'll have a couple hundred people working and having a future in the CBD world.
Yeah. And I mean, I want to say that we really, really appreciate you coming in studio and sharing your time with us. But before you do go, let's just at least talk about it for 1 or 2 minutes, that you want to end the violence that's plaguing American families, and you hope that one day exchanging guns in homes and on the streets with legal adult-use cannabis with the dream program of yours, Cannabis for Guns. Now, obviously, the laws would have to change, but this is a dream project of yours, correct?
Well, everyone can see that. It's cannabisforguns.com. It can't be a .org because cannabis is not legal, totally legal in America. But I started in Seattle about 2 years. It was very well accepted. And I'm trying to bring in our city. We're averaging 50, up to 50 shootings within killings a week. Not 50 killings, but within the shootings. Last night we had 7 shootings and a nice section of the city, West Philly. No one, I spoke at City Hall twice. I get standing ovations. Everyone shakes my hand, but no follow-up. We're ready to lose the city. I believe, my opinion, we're ready to lose the city, and something has to be done. I operate under SAM law, which is mostly every city's SAM law, a small amount of marijuana. Everything I do is totally legal. It's all explanatory on my website, cannabisforguns.com. You turn in the weapon, we'll take the weapon from any age. Then you get a voucher, and you have to be 21 to go to a dispensary and get your issue of an ounce of good marijuana. Because these kids are not stupid. They're not going to give their weapons up. They tried it in California. They would give them the gift certificate for targets, $100. Failed. They tried it in New York for years now. $100. Failed. And these kids are different, and you have to approach this in different ways. I'm just tired of getting up. I came out of prison. I was in the worst prison, the most violent prisons known to man. I lived in hell for 32-plus years. I know violence very well. And I come out, and I get up every morning. I rise early, and all it is breaking news.
Yeah.
Violence, violence, violence. So I think I'm not saying I can make a difference, but I can give it a good shot at making a difference.
Well, as we said, you have a storied past, and I think a lot of people can learn from that and see the good that you are trying to make, and we wish you the best of luck in all of your future endeavors, and I think you're going to be very successful, and we appreciate you coming in studio and sharing your stories with us. And do you want to share any websites or anything like that before you go?
Well, we have the hiphempcafe.com. We have the cannabisforguns.com. Anybody out there, anybody has have heard of STX Entertainment, we're negotiating right now to get involved in all my stories in my life. So
Brad Pitt playing you?
We don't know. They're a big entertainment company, but they understand that the CBD industry is here to stay. And they never thought that, you know, one story can just be an entertainment issue. It can go farther than that, because if you become very popular in your entertainment industry, if your name becomes more of a household, then you can brand 100 to 200 million in the CBD TH industry. And then, again, it's about giving people jobs, giving people lives.
Turning their lives around.
Right.
Making the right choices, as you said, guns instead of going out there and doing the wrong thing.
Well, I'm happy about that. They came to me, STX, so it's looking good. Well, so hopefully that'll pan out.
Congratulations, sir. Thank you so much for joining us.
I wish I could stay more, but
it was more than enough and more than we could have asked for. Right. So we appreciate
that.
Thank
you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming down, George.
All right.
But talking about that, I mean, Cannabis for Guns is quite the story there. But we also have a great story as well that may not be shooting anyone, but the name still insinuates that you're going to have excitement. It's called Bam Bam Kitchen.
Hi.
Hello there, Julia. That's Julia Lee, the manager of Bam Bam Kitchen in Ardmore, Pennsylvania. And first of all, we have to say thank you for all of these wonderful treats that you brought in studio. Why don't you tell all of our listeners, since they cannot hear or smell all of the wonderful things that you brought in?
I wish we have those features on the radios in the days, right? So today I brought to the studio our Kalbichim, which is braised short rib dish. We have Bam Bam signature fries, which is French fries with kimchi, round steak, cheese, and sweet potatoes. We have our most famous Korean fried chicken wings with 3 sauces. I don't think anyone has tried it yet, but we have the honey garlic, sweet chili, and the spicy. And we have the Oh My Stir Fry, which is supposed to be a create-your-own stir fry. But since we didn't know what you guys would have wanted, so we kind of created our own. It's a sweet, spicy sauce with shrimp and chicken, along with assorted vegetables.
I mean, Don, you were nibbling just as much as me, and there wasn't one thing there that I didn't want to eat the whole thing.
That's what I had to keep slapping your hand away from with these chopsticks. The pork was tender, off the bone. Yeah.
It's beef, actually.
Beef?
Yeah. It's okay, though. It's tender.
No one knew, Don, what you were pointing at. Only Julia knew what you were pointing at. The listeners didn't know.
Okay.
See, Julia, you should have just...
should have played along. Yeah.
But also, I mean, Ardmore is really hot and happening lately, and you have a wonderful, sleek, casual outlet that people are coming in to dine, and it's going to be getting a little bit more crowded in Ardmore, certainly starting tomorrow, because from July 15th through the 28th, you're going to see why Ardmore is one of the hottest culinary destinations on the Main Line. It's Restaurant Week 2019.
Yes.
So what are your thoughts on Restaurant Week, and how do you enjoy that being a restaurant?
I guess to sum it in a word, Restaurant Weeks for our restaurant is like an oasis, especially during the summertime where everyone kind of goes off to the shore. And then at the time, like, this is more of an opportunity for us to bring in more of the customers who kind of live outside the Ardmore area to really come over and try our good food. And really, like, last year was our first year doing the Restaurant Week, and I've seen a lot of new faces, and it's really rewarding to see them come back and eventually becoming our regulars.
And you have an exclusive Restaurant Week menu, correct?
Yes, we do.
So what is that?
So we'll be participating in both lunch and dinner. Lunch is going to be $15 for a 2-course, and dinner is going to be $25 for 3 courses. And the appetizers will have these fries that I brought today, along with the wings or the boneless chicken, house salad, and mung bean pancake. And the second course for the lunch will be the Oh My Stir Fry, which is basically a create your own stir fry. There are 4 sauces you could choose from. If you're not a big spicy person, you can go with that. We wanted to include everyone, so we have all the vegetable options, meat options, and seafood options for that stir fry. And for dinner, we have grilled short rib dish, we have braised short rib dish, we have the spicy seafood soup along with the stir fry. And the third course for the dinner will be house-made Korean traditional drinks, which is, one of them will be the iced citronade with sparkling water and iced misugaro, which is 15 grains drink.
Oh, man. I heard they have delicious pork there too, Don.
Oh, we do. We do. Our pork is pretty on point too.
I know. When I was eating this, I was like, man, these bones are big for a pork. When she said the braised ribs, I'm like, ribs, pork.
But that menu is fantastic for a restaurant.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Because sometimes you get restaurants at Restaurant Week, and you're like, really? Yeah,
very selective.
That's what you're putting out for Restaurant Week?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you go, boo, put your thumbs down, keep on moving. But congratulations. And you have a very unique sort of restaurant. Why don't you describe it a little bit?
I think our customers would already know why our restaurant is unique. But I guess from the beginning, we really try to stay true to the Korean authentic flavor with the limited resources here and overseas. And the freshness of our ingredient is top notch from that on. And from the service on too, like on the tables, we have table bells that are situated so that when customers need service, they need water, they need bills, they can just simply press the button and the server is going to be on the way.
So
they
like
don't,
that.
Yeah, they don't lose a second. Yeah. So the portions are generous, I would say, and our foods are very on point in terms of their flavorings.
So what's your favorite thing on the menu?
Well, I'm a big soup person, so I love our soft tofu soup,
okay,
which is not going to be a part of the Restaurant Week, but we did it last year. But our galbijjim, the braised short rib dish that I brought today, is one of my favorites, and I can't ignore our wings. Our wings are super good.
And for those who don't know about the wings. You guys call it KFC, most Korean right. restaurants do.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And why don't you describe to anyone out there who isn't familiar that your KFC means a whole different thing than what people think of what KFC means?
Well, I guess KFC is usually Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Right.
So we've had,
talking about fried chicken.
I know. Our customers, when we just put KFC out there, they're like, can I get Kentucky Fried Chicken? I was like, no, it's Korean Fried Chicken. But I guess the main difference that put our wings out there is first, they're double fried. Mm-hmm. And the sauces, we have 5 sauces from soy, honey, garlic, sweet chili, spicy, and extra spicy. And all of the sauces are made in-house. And I think the second source, the sauces are actually what put us out there.
Now, the question is, we're giving a little preview here, but anyone who read the show description already knows, we also have Red Crest Fried Chicken. And did you partake in any of their?
Yes, I did. And it's really good, too. It's like different spectrum, so I can't put ones over another. It was equally as good.
It's called, if you're in South Philly, you get his. And right. if you're in Ardmore, you mm-hmm. get yours. I mean, yeah. There's no arguments needed, are there, Adam?
Not at all, no.
I think even if we're together, it'd be like a different type of spectrum. So we wouldn't be like, no, like,
exactly.
can't go there.
Exactly. So with Ardmore's Restaurant Week, is there at least one other restaurant that you would like to visit during the week?
Definitely, I would say the Bercy. Oh. Or the Besito.
They're both good choices. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, how long have you guys been in Ardmore?
Well, we opened 2017 October, okay. so it's closer to 2 years now.
Yeah, because it had quite a transformation.
Oh, yes, because when we first were looking around the locations, when we first got to Ardmore, we were just walking around the neighborhood, and I was like, there's nothing here. Are you sure this is going to be the right place? And when we opened, we saw a lot of variety of restaurants come in.
And then you heard the Kevin Costner voice in your head.
Oh, yeah.
If you build it, they will come.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so now it's like a whole melting pot of a lot of cuisines, and I love it.
That's awesome. That's mm-hmm. awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming in studio. I mean, you definitely spoiled us. And as Don said, everything was delicious.
Everything.
Including the pork.
Including the pork. Including the pork. But I have to say, I was surprised by the fries.
Mm-hmm.
It was really a nice twist
right.
to what you would think. Oh, you like, oh, fries. It's sort of like a Korean special poutine you got going there. It's like your own little version.
That's
of,
a good idea. Yeah. Yeah. That's the idea behind it. I guess, since we are an authentic Korean restaurant, some of our customers might be like, why are you having fries on your menu? But at the same time,
sometimes
it's a
you
new
just
take.
Have to have fun.
Yeah, it's a new take. And
if it's delicious, I'm not complaining.
Right. So we just put kimchi in there to make an authentic twist of a Korean taste to it. So I think it's pretty good.
Yeah. Now, Adam, what's your first thought of Korean fried chicken?
I like it. I mean, I've had a few different restaurants in New York that I used to go to late night. It was like phenomenal at 3 o'clock in the morning. But I feel like, I don't know. I often see wings on a lot of menus. And I enjoy it when I get it.
Yeah. I mean, it is a little different twist to it, and mm-hmm. it's got like that real crazy crunchy
right.
texture to it.
Yeah.
Which you don't expect when you first bite into it. But then you're like, oh, this is pretty good.
Yeah, there's, I mean, for me, Southern style fried chicken is just kind of harkens back to my childhood. So that's why I like it. But I will not pass up Korean fried chicken.
And I would say sometimes the saying goes, sauce is boss.
Right.
And really, when the sauce goes on, mm-hmm. to the Korean fried
that's
chicken.
That's like the cherry on top.
Yeah, that's when it really, really brings mm-hmm. brings it out. But everything here is just amazing. Now, for Red Crest fried chicken, what would you say is the most difficult part of fried chicken for you as it comes to creating fried chicken?
I think it took me a long time to come up with the proper spice mix.
Okay.
We went from using open fryers to pressure fryers. And that change in equipment was a really hard learning curve for me because...
And why did you make the change?
It cooks quicker.
Okay.
You get a more tender product, or not tender, but juicier. But you can cook 3 whole fried chickens in 14 minutes.
Wow.
So it's good for volume.
Okay.
But frying at in a pressure fryer, it's a lower temperature, but it does burn any sugar that's there. So even the sugar that's in buttermilk will burn.
Really?
So we had to kind of... It took us about a month to figure out how to change our recipe over to be able to use the pressure fryers.
Oh, nice. Now, for Korean fried chicken, what's the most difficult part of Korean fried chicken? Have you had to, like, tweak what you guys are doing?
Definitely. And the sauces, we had to change it so many times. I can't even, like, track how many times that we had to change it. And especially the batter, too.
Okay.
We had to go through a lot of batters because... First, it was too thin. Second, it
too
was
thick.
Too thick. So it was like a loaf of bread came out instead of a chicken wing. So we were like, okay, like
that's not working.
No, no. We had to find the golden batter proportion to make our Korean fried chicken.
Have
really
you had
crispy.
Korean fried chicken, Don?
I've never had it.
Oh, you're definitely going to have some before you leave.
He had it.
Okay. So he just lied. He said he never had it.
Well, until
before today.
But why don't you give us your website or address or anything like that?
Oh, right. You can find all the restaurants' restaurant week menus on ardmorerestaurantweek.com, I believe. And our full menu is available online at www.bambamkitchen.com.
And also, Restaurant Week, again, is what dates?
July 15th, tomorrow, till July 28th.
And there is a website for the Restaurant Week, correct?
Yes. Okay. There is.
And we can just Google that, Ardmore Restaurant Week, and then find all of them that you can go. I wonder if anybody ever eats at every single restaurant during restaurant. That would be quite a challenge.
I think it's worth a try because with the deal, it's only there for 2 weeks. So if I had the time, I would like restaurant.
But we have Adam in studio. He's the he runs East Passyonk's Restaurant Week. He helps run that. Have you ever heard of anyone who ate at every restaurant?
I've never heard of that, but I feel like that's an amazing challenge to set up. We should set something up for our next Restaurant Week that if you can hit every single restaurant on the list,
yeah.
You, I don't know, you get like free Tums. Weight loss surgery?
Well, we're certainly hoping someone sets that up for the next Restaurant Week. But we have someone that maybe would want to talk about a Restaurant Week challenge on their extremely popular Facebook Live show, The Real Dish. And she's also the author of a new cookbook, Eat Like You Give a Fork. All right, Don? Eat Like You Give a Fork.
I give a fork.
And I'll do my best to pronounce the name correctly, but everyone who knows this show calls me the butcher of names. But I'll do my best, I promise. Mariah Ibrahim.
Mariah, yes. Just think Ray of Sunshine.
Oh, there we go. Well, it is.
You get it right every time.
There you go. Well, it is a pleasure to have you on. You're not only a chef, you're a holistic nutritionist and an award-winning entrepreneur. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and the new cookbook?
Yeah. Well, I'm a huge believer that just, taking care of yourself means taking care of your body and your mind and your whole being. And food is the fuel that you do that with. So when you eat like you give a fork, you eat with intention. You put food in your mouth because it helps to heal you, not hurt you. And at the end of the day, we're adults and humans, so we have the need to indulge every once in a while, and that's worked into the plan, too. So you have a way to do that sustainably, but to make every bite count with the book, like you give a fork.
Yeah, because as you said, that a lot of people don't realize that it's common sense wisdom that with food, you have an intimate relationship with it. It's one of the things
absolutely.
That is the, not one of the things, it is the thing that's closest to your body because, good Lord, you're sticking it in your body every single day. And your cookbook...
Well, it's becoming your DNA.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, it's that important.
Exactly. And you're providing scrumptious whole food recipes that are going to not only nourish the body, but taste darn good, too, because you give a fork.
Exactly. And I think, you know, that's the thing that I want people listening to really... To really wrap their heads around is, you know, food is information. You can't burn off information. So once you've eaten it, it becomes part of you. And so that code, if you will, feeds you with every bite of that beautiful computer of yours. So it's not just about kind of, you know, oh, I'll burn it off. It's just the calories. It's so much more than that. And we don't have to think of foods that are healing and health building to be sacrificial. I think that's probably the biggest mindset change that I would love to be able to make with this approach. You can have both, and the recipes are really simple. I picked ones that are, you know, easy to make but still absolutely delicious, and that includes desserts. There are desserts in this book too.
And I also like, I'm starting to like you a lot because I like all the puns that you put into things, because you say that no one should do anything that starts with die. And instead, you
right.
invite everyone to escape the dreaded dreaded mentality of diet with a more positive approach to just eating healthy. And here's the best part. See, these puns, I love them, that she included 80, Don, 80 forkin' delicious recipes.
80.
But not just forkin' delicious.
Forkin' delicious?
Forkin' delicious.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Think about this, you know, and plus, people have gotten so confused over what the word healthy means. You know, healthy is health building. So it's foods that feed you at the cellular level, and that is mostly delivered with a variety of non-starchy vegetables, and you layer on top of that high-quality proteins, slow-burning carbohydrates like single-ingredient grains that give you a huge amount of fiber and nutrients, and you eat and repeat, and you don't come from a place of deprivation. You come from a place of abundance, not eat less. Eat more and eat more frequently, but just eat the right things. And you find your metabolism goes through the roof. You find that you are, you know, energized. You find that you're in a place where you're thriving instead of feeling deprived.
Well, I love it because, as you've proven here, you're giving a fun and holistic approach to food. And you not only want people to get serious, but you're allowing them to laugh about their cooking at the same time, because cooking, it is serious, but you should have fun doing it and enjoy yourself and enjoy
100%.
The process and get some laughs
yeah.
out of it. But you also give the 8 essential strategies on the recipes, and I could go over and over and over of all the wonderful things that you have included in this book, but I want to say it was such a pleasure having you join us tonight. And I want everyone to go out to their local bookstore, if there's one near them. And if not, I'm sure Amazon has you covered. And go purchase.
Yeah.
Eat like you give a fork. Because darn it, not enough people are giving a fork these days.
And, well, thank you for that. And I know. I want to hear how people feel once they do start eating like they give a fork. It's pretty transformative.
Exactly. And also, we want everybody to go over to your Facebook live show, The Real Dish, and feel free to share a website or anything like that before you go.
Yeah, you can follow us on Facebook, and Instagram is where we hang out the most, at Eat Cleaner. It's EAT Cleaner. And while you're there, also check out our line of awesome products that help you eat cleaner every day. And you can even text ELYDAF to 22828 to get 20% off your first purchase and get our free clean eating reset. So that's a great way to get started.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It was our pleasure.
Thank you.
Have a good night. Well, Don, we've already previewed that we've got the double A's in studio.
Yes.
We've got Adam Volk and Adam Leiter. They both party on East Passyunk Avenue. And Adam's already talked about his fried chicken, but we didn't get into the nitty-gritty and into the meat of the situation. So It's Red Crest Fried Chicken. Why don't you tell us exactly where you're located? This way, anyone who wants to try Red Crest Fried Chicken can certainly do so.
Of course. We're at 1525 South 11th Street, so we are right at the Singing Fountain.
Are you the one that does the singing?
Good God, no. No. But we're right by the Singing Fountain, right at the corner of Cross and Pashyunk.
And obviously, we've talked about Korean fried chicken. Philadelphia has had multiple fried chicken restaurants pop up who claim that they are the best. So tell us why your restaurant is unique and why we should go to Red Crest Fried Chicken instead.
Well, I guess in South Philly, we are one of the only places that's doing the Southern-style fried chicken. And... yeah, we're affordable. We're open late Friday, Saturday till 2 a.m.
Ooh.
We offer our bone-in chicken with our homemade buttermilk biscuits. We have a variety of chicken thigh sandwiches. I'm a fan of the chicken thighs over chicken breasts for sandwiches because it's a little bit more flavorful.
I agree wholeheartedly, and it's juicier.
Yep. And then we also offer our chicken tenders and popcorn chicken, which are bite-sized pieces of thigh meat as well. And then we have a selection of house-made sides. We have soft-serve ice cream.
Oh, you can't go wrong with soft-serve.
Yeah.
Fried chicken and ice cream.
How does anyone ever leave your location? You've got everything everyone loves.
It's true. It's true. I don't know. I guess it's a very small location, so you just kind of got to shove people out.
Get out.
Yeah.
He didn't even tell you about the biscuits yet either.
He did. He did.
He mentioned the biscuits? Yeah. Oh, the biscuits are so good.
Yeah. See, Adam over here, he's over here already just dreaming about it. He's thinking like, oh, man, I want some more of that chicken.
Red Crest is like a danger zone in the neighborhood because you walk by and you smell it, and it's so easy just to pop in and pop out. And so it's always, I mean, my wife is always both happy and upset when I bring it home.
Yeah. And we're right by, there's a gym on the block. There's a Sweat Fitness right there. So I often love seeing
someone leave the gym,
people wearing like a Sweat Fitness tank top and they're eating. I'm like, that's good. It's good.
It's
I don't know
better
if you're on the way or on the way back.
No, it's better on the way back.
Yeah,
because that goes to show the power that you have. Because they had good intentions to start the day, and then they're like, "There's Red Crest. Forget what I just did for an hour and a half sweating this off. This is my reward."
Yeah, or maybe they're just getting dressed up to go to the gym so their spouse doesn't know that
they're stopping at there.
It's their secret. Honestly, I went to the gym. Well, why is there crumbs all over your shirt? But you have been so popular there. I don't know if you can share this or not, but there's talks of maybe something else in the works for Red Crest. Is that able to be discussed?
Yeah. We are actually... in the process of opening our second location. This one's going to be right around the corner in Bushwick, Brooklyn, in New York City.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I always like it when it's the opposite, because everyone from Philly always goes, because you know Don from Philly, you got all this New York stuff coming down here. Good God. Another New York plan. Look, more New Yorkers moving in.
And now we're going to invade New York.
But it's always nice when a Philly restaurant or something goes up. But you're originally from New York, aren't you?
No, originally from Pennsylvania.
Okay. But you spent a lot of time up there.
Yeah, I lived up there for a long time. Okay. And I got a...
God bless your soul for taking a little bit of Philly up to New York.
Yeah. I got an offer that I could not refuse, so...
Oh, you talked to George, too, before the show?
Yeah. So we'll be opening end of August, hopefully.
Okay. So what created your love for fried chicken?
It was just the food that I always wanted when I was a kid. Okay. It was one of the, you know, if it was ever my day to choose dinner, you know, like,
surprise,
oh,
there's no mac and cheese
dinner
on there, because that would have been one.
Yeah. We have mac and cheese on the menu.
See, he didn't mention the mac and cheese. You probably have people there for at least a week that you have to kick out.
Yeah, and it's funny, when we put the mac and cheese on the menu, and it became our highest selling, not just in actual number. We sold more mac and cheese in like the first 2 months.
No kidding, especially if you're open until 2 a.m. Yeah. I'm going for mac and cheese. Good Lord.
So it was the food I always wanted as a kid, and then we moved down to Florida when I was a teenager, and... there's a lot of fried chicken in the South and a lot of really good biscuits.
And you know what else? It's fried chicken that's, I mean, it's more popular coming up here now. It's, mm-hmm. Surprisingly, it's like fried chicken at gas stations, which they also yeah. sell fireworks and alcohol. The South is a lot of fun for certain things.
Yeah. I'm glad I don't live there anymore. I mean, I do miss it, but I don't know if I'd still be on this earth. So, yeah,
there's good intentions, but bad occurrences.
Yeah, alcohol, fireworks, and then alligators is yeah. when you walk out the door.
Exactly.
But yeah, there's a. I'm sure somebody's done it, but I need to find if there's like a cuisines of Florida gas station, because I've eaten some really good food in a bunch of gas stations in the state of Florida.
And talking about gas stations, obviously, gas stations can't stay in business without obviously selling gas. And right. who needs gas? Cars.
Cars.
Yeah. And you will be serving a little special something during the car show, because that's why Adam came back as well to join us, because they're having East Passyunk's Car Show and Street Festival. It's back for its, get this, Don, not its third,
nope.
not its seventh,
nope,
not the 10th.
11th?
Close. 14th.
How is 11 close to 14?
Well,
it's closer than two.
No.
Closer than pork.
That's true.
But first we're going to start with, what are you serving during this? Because obviously you've already mentioned everything that I love.
Yeah. So we'll have a tent out on the street, and we'll be doing chicken sliders. So we're working on a special slider for that day. We haven't quite figured out exactly what it's going to be, but we'll have a fried chicken slider. A couple dollars, be able to walk right up to the table, pick it up.
Nice.
We'll also be open inside with our full menu and our soft serve ice cream, which will be nice because I think last year it was like 90 degrees for the car show.
I think it's going to probably be about that this year too.
Yeah, I think so too.
I don't think the heat's going down anytime soon.
No.
But besides wonderful sliders and everything else, Adam, tell us about the car show and what's going on here?
Yeah,
obviously, there's going to be cars involved, I would guess.
There's over 200-plus cars every year. I mean, so we work with the Northeast Muscle Car Club to help organize a lot of the cars that are coming in. It's, you know, anyone off the street. I mean, we get clubs that are coming, so it's first come, first serve. And one of the best things about this event is that you'll walk down the street. We have five blocks that are shut down with all these cars, with food, with entertainment. You'll get six modern Corvettes lined up right next to a Model T, lined up next to a motorcycle, and then someone's Camaro that has gullwing doors and neon lights inside. And it's just such a mishmash of different kinds of cars. It's cool because there's something for everybody. And, you know, whether you're a bona fide, you know, car lover, you'll definitely get something out of it, talking to the folks about their vehicles who are, you know, hanging out for the day. But just, you know, if you just like the whole atmosphere of having that fun vibe while you're grabbing some good food. I mean, you know, Adam mentioned what he has, but there's going to be over 20 of our restaurants that are having special items out there. So you can grab everything from the sliders to Chaya Cafe is going to have these protein bars that are shaped like cars.
Wow.
And then we have Teas and Me, which are the banh mi's and bubble teas, and they're going to be selling through the window and having specials too. So it's the whole variety of everything that you can find on East Passyunk, like, you know, at great events like our restaurant week, but in that kind of grab and go, enjoy the outdoors kind of day.
And that restaurant week next time is going to have a passport to...
We're going to work on that with you. Yeah. We're going to have to brand something together.
That's a great idea.
Now, Don, what about you? What kind of vehicles do you like?
What kind of... I like a Corvette.
Corvette?
Yeah.
Corvette guy?
Yeah. Now I can afford one, but I like to
look at it. See, I don't know if it's just me because I always loved that Back to the Future movie, the DeLorean. I mean, it's a cheesy-looking vehicle, but...
You're totally setting me up, right?
You know, no, I'm not setting you up, but that would be fantastic if it's a good segue.
Well, geez, let me tell you, Derek. I don't know if you realize this, but some of the new stuff that we're planning for this year, there's a few things that we're trying to incorporate just to get a little, you know, something new, something different that people, you know, are not going to expect walking down the street. So one of the sponsors that we have is Carvana, and they're actually bringing a DeLorean that looks like the Back to the Future car.
All my prayers have been answered, Don.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And so you can go take photos,
Julie?
With that.
No, no. And I'm not a car expert in any way. If there's a four wheels, like an automatic thing that walks itself, then I'm fine. Like, I'm good with that.
But will it have the flux capacitor? That's the most important question.
Yeah. No, it'll definitely be very cool. And you know, we try and keep it so that there's something for everybody. We have the whole kid zone. We're going to have Eastern Pass Tattoo is going to make custom temporary tattoos that they'll give to kids or adults. So you can have the coolest looking kid on the block. And you know, Moon Bounce will have the Philadelphia Union soccer team out there with games and stuff for people. So it's really, you know, it's a great day. It's a great reason to come out to East Passyunk.
I mean, East Passyunk, and we've mentioned this previously as you've joined us, it is such a hip and happening area of the city right now. And would you agree, Don, probably the hottest hip and happening area? No offense.
Well, with all the new restaurants that are opening up on Passyunk Avenue, I mean, your choices are limitless of whatever you like to eat.
It's like the United Nations of flavors.
Yeah.
It truly is. It truly is. And, I mean, no offense to Ardmore. We know Ardmore's happening. But Ardmore's not in the city. So we'll say that your location is the hippest and happenest location
in
Ardmore.
Yes.
That's right. But in Philadelphia, it has to be a lot of work to keep that up. Because Northern Liberties, for a little while, everybody's like, oh, let's go to Northern Liberties. It's so much fun. But now, all of the talk, I'm just saying, from what I hear, is East Passyunk, and that's credit to you and your team, Adam.
Well, I think it's honestly, it's the credit to the business owners and the restaurateurs, because
Owners don't get that sort of direction and help without a good business district administration.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But, you know, in all honesty, you know, we work with what is there, and we have great businesses. We also have a great community and a great neighborhood. And I think that's what really differentiates us from places like, you know, I love everything in Philly. I love Fishtown. I love Northern Liberties. But no one has that mile-long, continuously walkable corridor like we do, where you can just go like from one end to the other without stopping. And then you have all the surrounding blocks with the neighbors who have, you know, people who have been there for decades, newcomers, and they're all coming together and they all get
shopping,
along.
Shopping, you got escape rooms. I mean, everything you could put your mind to.
We've got everything you could want and more.
Well, congratulations, and it's always such a pleasure to have you in. I'm going to actually start to my left, because I did forget, for Red Crest, would you like to share any social media or websites or anything like that?
Yeah, on the web, we're at www.redcrestfriedchicken.com. You can find us on Facebook. Instagram is Red Crest Fried Chicken, and our Twitter is Fry Red Crest Fry.
Oh, I like that. Fry Red Crest Fry.
So good.
And for East Passyunk, same goes to you, since you were kind enough to join us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're at visiteastpassyunk.com, and on Instagram and Facebook, just at East Passyunk.
Perfect.
P-A-S-S-Y-U-N-K.
Perfect.
Because I have to pronounce it correctly, but explain it.
Exactly.
Well.
For those who don't know. But we also have someone who's going to another area of the city that's, it's okay. It's not too shabby, should we say. But Rittenhouse, I mean, for anyone who knows Rittenhouse. And that would be Tracy Badiro. She's going to be at Cook Philly, which is a wonderful location, on Saturday, July 20th. And she's also the author of the Vermont cookbook, non-GMO cookbook, I believe. And she's going to talk about us about a whole bunch of different things. And Don actually has a couple questions for you, Tracy.
Tracy, how are you, Tracy?
Well, thank you so much for having me back. It's always fun to chat with you.
That it's always our pleasure.
I think Saturday was the 19th.
But no, Saturday's going to be the 20th.
Yes, it's on the 19th.
Oh, the
19th. Saturday's
the 19th. No. Saturday would be the... Saturday is the 20th. July 19th.
Oh, is it the 20th?
Yes. Oh. It's Saturday, July 20th. So don't come down to Philadelphia on the 19th if you're looking to have your event on Saturday, because Saturday is actually the 20th.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes,
Tracy.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you for clarifying that.
Oh, that's no problem whatsoever.
Yeah, Tracy, how are you?
The class is sold out. I'm doing very well. Yes, and the class on Saturday is sold out, and I will be making 4 dishes for folks that will be attending. And the first dish I'll be making is this wonderful arugula fig and goat cheese salad with an orange vinaigrette. And what I love about this salad is the orange vinaigrette is light with undertones, and it just allows all the layers of flavors from
the curry
and the figs, which are sweet, in the salad to emerge. And then the second dish I'll be making is this really beautiful bruschetta with garlic steak kale pesto. And for those of you who aren't familiar with garlic steak, there are these really cool-looking slim flower stems grow from the top part of the garlic. And the raw garlic steak has an assertive flavor with a fiber. And I recommend, because they are so fibrous, that they work best minced or pureed, and that's why it's so great in this pesto. And what I love about this pesto, too, is that you can make a bunch of it, and then you can freeze it, and it can stay frozen up to 3 months in the freezer. And you can even freeze some of it in ice cubes, and you can just pop off, you know, out a few cubes and put it in soup. And it just adds a nice kick to it. But I always recommend, if you're going to freeze your pesto, don't add any cheese to it. Wait till you defrost it and then fold in the cheese after that, before serving. And then the third dish I've been making is this tender, fall-off-the-bone, meaty beef short rib dish. And it has this beautiful turnip puree. And it's topped with chimichurri sauce. And for those listeners who have never tried a chimichurri sauce, it's this vibrant sauce of or table condiment that is popular throughout South America. And it's super easy to create. And it's made with a mixture of fresh garlic, fat leaf parsley, cilantro, lemon juice, sherry vinegar, red pepper flakes for that kick, and some oil. And this particular recipe that's featured in my cookbook makes more than you'll need for the recipe, but you could serve it with steaks or chicken wings and roasted potatoes. And then I'm going to end the meal, the evening, with a blueberry almond sour cream cake. And what I like about this cake is that it uses blueberries, which are high in antioxidant fruits, and they're excellent source of vitamin K, C, and E. And the blueberries keep this cake nice and moist. Ooh, so that's what I'll be making.
Holy moly. Well, for anyone who couldn't get a ticket, you just served this up the whole meal yourself. So thank you for that. That was wonderful.
I did.
I can't wait.
Yeah. When I go back to and do another class, I want to get folks excited.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Well, we want everyone to know that next Saturday is the 20th. And yeah. It's going to be at Cook Philly in Rittenhouse. And it was such a joy to talk to you again, Tracy. And not only can they see you at Cook, they can also go to Amazon and purchase the Vermont non-GMO cookbook and have all the fun they want to do with all of your ingredients at home themselves. So have yourself a great night.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me back again.
No problem. Have fun in Philly. Great to have you back.
Thank you. I will.
No problem.
Bye bye.
That was fun.
That was a heck of a meal.
It felt like I had the whole thing. Just
a virtual meal
in
front of your eyes.
All I just needed was just like VR headset, and I would have been set. Just imagine one day technology will probably be like that. You'll just put on a VR headset and pop in a pill of some sort, and that's all you'll need to eat.
3D printed fried chicken.
But don't you ever wonder about that sort of stuff? Like, will there be a day that all you do is just take a pill and that's it?
And have a robot housekeeper named Rosie.
But I mean, technology changes things so rapidly.
Yeah.
that would be such a shame. Like, the fun of food would literally be gone. But so many other fun things in life are gone. They give us nothing but bad news, all the things that we like.
It's true, you know.
Whatever you like, the rat's going to kill you. Like, well, I wasn't looking for it to have me live forever. I was just looking for a little fun. I mean,
you have to have the experience.
Exactly. Without the experience, what is life?
Just a pill.
Exactly. So what would you say, Adam, something that you can't say, your location, is your favorite spot to go on East Passion for a meal?
I mean, the first place that comes to mind is Laurel. I got to eat there once while we were building the restaurant, and one of the best meals I've had in many, many years.
Wow.
It's not quite friendly to my pocketbook. It was a great meal.
But it was friendly to your stomach, wasn't
it? It was amazing. I think there's just so many good spots. You know, like I like popping into Cantina to grab lunch sometimes. Not quite on the avenue, but Triangle up on the other end is great for lunch. Chaya was great when we ate there. Fond is an amazing restaurant. Nord. I mean, it's
endless. It goes on and on.
It's endless, just depending on what you want.
That's why we can't have science create pills for us
It's true.
To just strictly eat. But talking about science and all sorts of things of that nature, we have someone who was voted Pennsylvania's most influential chef by Cooking Light magazine. Do you know who that is, Don?
The one that lives in Florida?
Don.
I'm sorry.
Don.
It came out.
That would be Chef Barbie Marshall. How's it going, Chef Barbie?
Hey, it's going great in Philadelphia this week.
Oh, look at that.
Can't.
See, tell her.
She misses us.
Yes, tell her.
Anyway, I did. But I actually had a situation come up, and before I talk about that, I really want to talk about how you just put me completely out of a job if the food goes to pill form, so no thank you. How about no on that?
But maybe it could be delicious.
I had something happen today, and I thought, like, maybe it would be a good thing to talk about quickly, is like, what happens when you're out, and the service is just not good.
Oh,
like,
that's
the worst.
You have
a problem with the service. And yeah, I agree. It can be the worst, but I actually really am a firm believer in talk your way through it. You know, like, maybe not with your server if your server is giving you a hard time, but take it to the manager very discreetly and just say, you know, maybe the server's having a bad day. I don't know what's going on, but, you know, it could be something valid, like them, like, slamming a plate down on the table and being visibly annoyed for no reason. So where everybody at the table is like, so what did we do?
And that's the difficult part, because, you know, as being a chef, Adam knows as being a chef, Julia as the manager, everything else could be exactly perfect. The food could have been cooked exactly how everyone wanted, but the experience of an outlying employee could have made an extremely negative experience to that person, and they will probably remember that more than they will remember everything else.
So, and are you actually suggesting talking with a person face to face to explain it instead of leaving a nasty review online?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, a lot of times these things can be resolved before you even leave the restaurant.
It's a crazy concept.
And, you know, keep in
you're
mind
talking
that
nonsense, Chef.
Every restaurant owner's intention on hiring someone as a bartender or a server is to have them be the face of the restaurant. And most of the restaurant owners that I know, thankfully, a lot of them, are very happy people. And so, you know, when things like that happen, it's not always a reflection of the actual restaurant. So you should, before you leave a nasty grim,
well, guess
try
what?
To resolve it within the building.
Once we're all taking pills, we don't need to worry about any of this nonsense. But
except, you know, paying our bills.
Exactly. But thank you so much, Chef Barbie. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Have yourself a wonderful night, and we'll talk to you again in a week or so.
Talk to you then.
All right, have a great night. Wow, that was fun,
Doc. In my luck, I would get the pill with the blueberry pie, like the Willy Wonka.
I thought you were going to say the blue pill.
Yeah. Like the Willy Wonka.
Yeah. Oh. Start floating. But thank you again, everyone who came in studio, and also George, who departed. But let's go around 10 seconds for everyone who is here. Say whatever you want. Say website. Feel free. 10 seconds going around, starting this way.
Just want to, I guess, reiterate, come back down to East Pashyunk for the car show. Stop by the Red Crest booth and say hi.
So Ardmore Restaurant Week begins tomorrow, and if you haven't tried Korean food, this is a great chance. And if you're good, if you love Korean food, this is also
it's even a better chance.
Yeah, so come on down to Bam Bam Kitchen.
And Donato Marino with DNL Coffee Service. You find us on Facebook at DNL Coffee Service.
East Passion Car Show. It's going to be taking place Sunday, July 28th. Come down to the neighborhood, enjoy us everything we have to offer for a great time for the day.
He didn't want to say his name again. Adam Leiter, for those who were waiting. And I'm Derek Tim of BlueJeanFood.com. This is Small Bites. We're live on Sunday, 6:35 p.m. on WildfireRadio.com. You can also catch us the following day on all of your Apple products on iTunes. We're also syndicated. Google us and find out, because too many for me to remember. And we end the show like we always do with a joke of the week from the legendary joke teller, Jackie the Joke Man Martlin.
Hi, I'm Jackie Martling, and this is Small Bites. A rare old bird is the pelican. His beak holds more than his belly can. He can keep in his beak enough food for a week, but I'll be damned if I see how the hell he can. Oh, that was my mother's favorite.